Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Nearly 1 in 10 Americans has diabetes. That's more than 30 million people, many who rely on insulin to survive. When insulin was patented a century ago, it sold for a dollar a vial. And that's because the scientists who discovered it wanted to keep the drug affordable. But today, a single vial of insulin can cost as much as $1,500. How did we get here? That's what lawmakers wanted to know in a hearing last week. Here's what Illinois Democratic Representative Jan Schakowsky said to executives from the top three pharmaceutical companies who make insulin.
We know that a huge number of people are not taking the insulin that they need because they can't afford it. So then they get sick, they get sicker, and maybe they die because of it. I don't know how you people sleep at night.
But for all the outrage, even temporary price reductions haven't stuck. Robin Feldman is a law professor at UC Hastings and the author of Drugs, Money, and Secret Handshakes, The Unstoppable Growth of Prescription Drug Prices.
So the price of insulin has risen enormously in the past decade. You have also seen improvements in the drug itself, new methods of delivery, new ways to try to use insulin that have certain value. The question is that value worth what people are paying for it? The initial invention of the core chemical for insulin happened more than 100 years ago. And if you look at the top insulin makers throughout the country, they have managed to pile protections onto their drugs over and over again. So some of them have piled as many as 55 protections. That's what blocks cheaper drugs from competing and getting into the market.
What about a generic option for insulin? I mean, isn't insulin at this point, given the percentage of Americans that have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, can't this be considered a medication that needs a generic option?
Generics are the best hope for competition in the market. That's how the system is supposed to be designed. We expect the pharmaceutical companies to get a handsome reward when they invent something, but after a period of time, generics should come in and drive the price down. If the deals block generics from getting traction with any of the various middle players, their drugs aren't going to get on the shelves. It's no good if you develop a drug and it's not being offered to people.
Let's talk a little bit about pharmacy benefit managers, or otherwise known as PBMs. Who are they and how do they affect the cost of insulin?
Well, PBMs are the middle players. They're supposed to be working on behalf of the health plan. That is, they're supposed to be working for you and me, the health plan's clients. And their job is to negotiate discounts with the drug companies, and then also to help the plan set the terms on which you and I can access the drugs and how much we will get reimbursed for that. So the system is supposed to be set up so that the PBM middle players are getting a good deal, but that's not how it's happened. Instead, the drug companies have turned this system on its head and figured out how to give lots of very attractive payments to the middle players in exchange for middle players preferencing the more expensive drugs.
Obviously, we're talking about this given the congressional hearings that are happening right now about insulin pricing. What's happened so far there? I mean, has Congress learned anything from these hearings?
My sense in both was that the executives escaped pretty much unscathed. It is a complex area. Sometimes the terms they wave in front of senators are 100% accurate and not helpful. The things that are going on, the secret deals, the ways in which this is structured are very bad for consumers and for you and me. Now, the PBMs and the drug companies like to say that there's nothing bad in our secret deals. This is all good. We're all doing our best to bring the prices down. My answer to that is, if there's nothing bad in there, open up the deals. Let the government see them. Let the press see them. If there's nothing behind the curtain, open the curtain.
But is there any federal agency that is charged with limiting or overseeing these drug companies and what they do?
There is no federal agency that does this. And the different federal agencies involved, nobody has the right mandate to get us what we need. So at the Patent and Trademark Office, the question is just, is this different? Not, is this any better? Does it really have therapeutic value? Just, is it different in some way? At the FDA, the question is safety and efficacy. That's a very important question, but they're not asking whether the drugs that are coming out and that we're getting pushed into in this system are actually any better for patients or a good value at all. There's nothing set up to watch out for your interests and mine. I do believe, by the way, that we do markets well in this country and that a good injection of competition so that drug companies are exposed to market forces would go a long way. But the government can't keep putting its thumb on the scale and helping out the more expensive medications.
Well, how can we expect the government to create policies or even during these hearings, how can we expect to trust them to make decisions on behalf of Americans versus their own private interests?
It's a difficult question. The pharmaceutical industry is an extraordinarily powerful lobby. Pharma industry spent $270 million last year lobbying, and I believe they have 1.5 lobbyists per member of Congress. That's a lot of power out there. However, so many people are upset and frightened about access to life-saving medications. Their voices may be heard.
We have seen some price reductions from some insulin manufacturers, Robin, so far. Do you expect that others will follow suit?
So I am heartened to see prices come down. The question is, what's going to keep this? What's going to make it long term? A company can decide for public relations views that it would be good to have lower prices right now when the heat is on, and then we'll let them slide up when Congress gets tired of this and goes on to something else.
Robin Feldman is a professor of law at UC Hastings and the author of Drugs, Money, and Secret Handshakes. Thanks for joining us, Robin.
Thank you for having me.
So if you need to use insulin, how much does it cost you every month? If you've seen the price go up, how are you managing?
This is Chay from Redmond, Oregon. The cost of my insulin could almost be a rent payment in a smaller city. I struggle every month to afford it, and sometimes I even have to ration it.
This is Reverend Nan Baker. I live in Dallas, and I've been an insulin-dependent diabetic for 40 years. I know of two people who cut their dosages because they could not afford their insulin. One was hospitalized but recovered. The other had both feet amputated.
Hi, my name's Tony. My wife and I live in Miami, Florida. Her insulin for a 3-month supply had gone from under just $40 or so to about $150.
Give us a call and share your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.